Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Me'ilah is daf Chaf Aleph, and we're on the top. We're on the top of Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, and we're starting with the Mishnah. Okay, we started the sixth parak of Me'ilah, and that would be yesterday, and we're going to finish the sixth parak of Me'ilah today. I don't know if I'll get to the very end. Maybe I'll save a little bit over for tomorrow. You know, the big Siyum tomorrow. And by big Siyum, I mean, of course, that we're going to be starting Kinnim, and pretty much in the same breath. And okay, we'll leave a little bit left over. But what is the sixth parak of Me'ilah about? It's a very interesting topic, and that is Shlichus by Me'ilah. So as I mentioned yesterday, but I'll just quickly reintroduce the topic. So Shlichus is agency. The Gemara in Kedushin, second parak, discusses it at length, where if I appoint a Shliach, so he is he's me. He becomes me. Shlichus Shal Adam Kamosa is a general rule, that if I appoint somebody to be my agent, so much like we have here in this country regarding many laws of agency and proxy, so an agency now reflects me. He does exactly what I ask him to do, so now he basically is an extension of me, or he is me. So if I send him to do something, so he can do something. So the Mishnah Kedushin discusses in the context of marrying a woman. A person wants to marry a woman, but he himself cannot be Mekadosher, so he simply appoints somebody else to be Mekadosher, and he serves as a Shliach. So that's the basics of shlichus. As I mentioned yesterday, shlichus has a lot of limitations. You can't shlichus doesn't work in every scenario. I can't ask somebody to put on a pair of tefillin for me. It doesn't work over there. It's a mitzvah shebegufo. But shlichus works, especially in terms of kinyanim, in terms of transactions. Shlichus works, and we have a basic rule regarding shlichus, and that's ein shlich l'dvar avera. That if I appoint somebody to do an avera for me, so that's not going to work. In other words, shlichus. I can instruct somebody to do something for me, either a mitzvah or just a simple transaction, not necessarily a mitzvah, but a davar rishus, something which is permitted to do, but I can't appoint a shliach to do an avera for me. Or, I mean, realistically I can, but the avera does not carry over. There's no carryover in the avera, meaning that the shliach himself is going to absorb any avera that he does. Okay? So there's no transfer of averas when it comes to shlichus. That's the basic rule. Now, like with every good rule, there's an exception to the rule, and here we are. Here's an exception to the rule. The Gemara in Kedushin discusses this as well, as this being one of the exceptions to the rule. Me'ilah is an exception to the rule, where if I ask somebody to take money of Hekdesh and to spend it, so now, and he does exactly what I ask him to do, so he's not the one who's now under the violation and penalty of Me'ilah, but me, the Mishaleach. Here, the Shlichus transfers over from the Shliach to the Mishaleach. So there is a transfer of a Nevera. So why is this an exception to the rule? So the Gemara, we go back to the Gemara, what we learned back in the fifth parak of Me'ilah, and that's because of Gzeira Shava. Meaning that, how do we know that Shlichus works all together by Me'ilah? So we learned it out from Truma. Meaning, remember the Gzeira Shava of Chet from Truma. So just like we know that by Truma there is Shlichus, in fact, as we mentioned, I mentioned the other day, the main source of Shlichus is actually derived from Truma, from the extra gam. So too, Shlichus is going to work by Me'ilah. Now Me'ilah is an Aveira by its very definition. So we have to invoke the novel idea that by Me'ilah there is going to be Shlichus. Now just before we start with the actual Mishnah and Gemara today, let's just think this through for just a moment. Because it is a unique topic. This idea that there's going to be Shlichus and carryover by the Isser of Me'ilah. First of all, like we've been seeing now for 3 weeks, but let's make sure we understand. Me'ilah means that I took money and I misappropriated the money. I misused Hekdesh money. It's a nice way of saying stealing, but okay, so I'll say nicely. I misused Hekdesh money. Now, we know that the penalty of Me'ilah comes for somebody who does so b'shogeg, which means he forgot. The money in question, he dedicated to Hekdesh. The money was, in fact, earmarked to Hekdesh. And when he picked up the money and when he used it, he forgot. He forgot that it belonged to Hekdesh. Now, he should have been more careful. So, and that's why there's this liability of Me'ilah. And that's why there's this Karban Asham of Me'ilah. He should have been more careful. But it comes only in an act of Shogeg. So really, when you talk about Shlichus now, so you really have to assume that the Shliach is in the same state of awareness as the Mishaleach. Meaning, if we're talking about a transfer of Me'ilah from the Shliach back to the person who's sending him, to the Mishaleach, so you have to assume, and we'll talk more about this later on this morning, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page going into this discussion. You have to assume that the Shliach himself also is in the state of Shogeg. So that now, basically, we're going to take the act of the Shliach, which was to spend the money, Hekdesh money, and move it now back to the Meshalech, who's the one who sent him with that money. But the only way we can really transfer is if the acts are on the same wave, on the same wavelength, meaning they're basically acting consistent with one another. Now, the Meshalech's not doing anything. He's the sender. Right? He's not the one actually doing it. But this idea that we're going to transfer is only going to be under a situation where the Shliach is also in a state of Shogeg. Okay, it seems correct what I'm saying. As we go through the Gemara later on, it'll seem even more correct in terms of what I'm saying. But just understand that we talk about transfer and carry over from the Shliach back to the Meshalech. They really got to be on the same footing with one another.
The coming of Me'ilah requires that we be B'shogeg?
The penalty of Me'ilah, meaning if I do B'mezid, that's obviously very bad. Meaning I took Hekdesh money intentionally and spent it on...
That's not Me'ilah?
How do I say this? It's Me'ilah for sure, meaning you're a mol behekdesh, you misappropriated, but you're not going to get the penalties. You're not going to get the penalties of Chomish and Asham. Why not? Because Chomish and Asham is a kapara. That provides atonement. If you do so b'mezid, so the act that you did was so heinous that the Asham is not going to be enough to be mechaper. So what is the proper kapara? I guess that's a very good question. I'm not sure if I have a good answer. But whenever we talk about carbon Asham, carbon Chatas, here we're talking about carbon Asham, so it's usually for a Shogeg act, not for a Mezid act.
So it's Shogeg, and if he doesn't come to understand or remember that he did it...
He only remembers afterwards. And afterwards he comes to the realization, I just spent Hektish money. Okay. The mission later on is going to deal with the following scenario. Maybe this will help just framework the whole discussion. What if the Mishalech takes the money out, forgetting that it's Hektish, hands it to the Shliach, and says, go run to the store and go get me some apples. And before the Shliach gets to the store, the Mishalech, the sender, says, oh no, that's Hektish money that I just gave him. But no cell phones, no BlackBerry, nothing to get that information to the Shliach, and the Shliach now spends the money. So there, right, we're going to talk about this later this morning. It doesn't transfer back to the Mishalech, because the Mishalech is not in a state of Shogeg, right? There, the Shliach is going to be the one violating the Isser of Me'ilah. Okay, we'll talk about that later. Amalo haveli min achalono min adluskama. So a lot of these Mishnahs that we're going to be seeing on Daf Chafalf are basically going to revolve around the following theme. It's really a singular theme for today. And that is, in order for there to be transfer of Avera from the Shliach back to the Mishaleach, so the Shliach has got to do exactly what he was instructed to do. Meaning anytime there's a Shliach deviates from his Shlichus, so he's no longer a Shliach. We don't need Me'ilah to make this point. We could have made this point anywhere when we discuss Shlichus, but it's going to have an effect in this halacha of Yesh Shlich L'dvar Avera in the world of Me'ilah. There's only going to be a transfer, a carryover of Avera, only when the Shlich does exactly what he was supposed to do. So the Mishnah here gives a number of examples. You know what, do me a favor, go get me those coins, right? So the Baal Bais, the owner of the coin, says to the Shlich, go get me those coins. And you're going to find them by the windowsill. Or you're going to find them in my bag. The heavy law. And so the Shlich now does exactly as he's instructed to do. So he goes over to the windowsill and he goes over to the bag. Now, he didn't go over to the windowsill that he should have gone to, meaning there's more than one windowsill, or there's more than one bag, and here the Shliach goes to whichever windowsill he wants. And it happens to be that the windowsill that he went to is the one that had the Hekdesh coins. Now, afterwards, after all the discovery of, oh my gosh, that was Hekdesh money, and you just gave me Hekdesh money, and I just spent Hekdesh money, after all that discovery, can the Baal HaBayis then say, oh no, you misunderstood me, I didn't mean that windowsill, I mean that windowsill? Although the Baal HaBayis didn't give those instructions, the Hevi Mizeh, Baal HaBayis Mal. The Mishnah says that the Baal HaBayis is Mal, because again, when we look at Shlichus, look at the instruction and look at the compliance to the instructions. The instructions were simply, go get me coins from the windowsill. And the Mishaleach, and the sender did not make any point in terms of which windowsill it was. And the Shliach went and got it. So there, no fault to the Shliach. In fact, the Shliach did exactly what he was supposed to do, given that the instructions were to go to the windowsill, and there was no specification of which windowsill to go to. Fine. So he did exactly what he was supposed to do. The fact that he happened to have gone to the windowsill that happened to have the Hekdesh money, that's not the Shliach's fault. He wasn't told not to. So he complied. So once he complied, now he is a shliach, which now means that the Isser of Me'ilah transfers back to the Mishalech, to the one who sent him. Now Tosfos makes the point, it's obvious, but I'll just make it anyway. At what point exactly are we talking about Me'ilah? Meaning when he hands the coins to the Baal Bayis? So Tosfos says, no, of course not. In other words, just simply shuffling around the money is not a violation of Me'ilah. It's when the money eventually does get spent, but because the Shliach did exactly what he was supposed to do, so he's not the one who violated Me'ilah, but rather it's the Mishalech who violated Me'ilah. Aval. But let's say the instructions were, I want you to go get me the coins from my bag. And the shliach goes and gets them from the windowsill. Or conversely, I want you to go get me from the windowsill and the shliach goes and gets it from the bag. So now you have deviation. The shliach did not do as per instructed. Now the shliach is no longer a shliach because he didn't comply. He didn't comply with the instructions. So our shliach mal. So the Mishnah tells us that the shliach is the one who's up for candidacy of Me'ilah. In fact, not only is he candidate, he won. He was ma'wal.
If he doesn't get any hana from it.
Again, all this is going to assume the Mishnah doesn't fill in those details.
But who's getting the hana? The shliach?
Yeah, in other words, we're going to say that the shliach then spent the money. Right. Again, you see Tosfos makes these points.
Because if the owner was got the hana, he was still on the hook, right? If the owner told the shliach, go get me from here, and the owner still goes and gets the hana from it, it's the owner who should be on the hook, no?
I would say not necessarily.
I mean, I think the question on all these things is that.
Does he have to get hanah, or just there's hanah from somebody that's just transferred?
Right. In other words,
there has to be hanah.
Right. No. There's not going to be any point of disagreement. Me'ilah will only come about when somebody gets benefit.
Right.
But when the shliach takes it from the wrong location and now hands it to the Baal Bayis,
I'd
almost venture to say it doesn't matter. Meaning because the whole idea of shlichus by Me'ilah is that's transferable. The penalty of Me'ilah is transferable. And now you look at the root cause, meaning why is it now that the Baal Bayis is spending hektish money? Because he was the one who took out the hektish money? He wasn't the one who took it out. It was the shliach who did. Let me say it like this, and just to think about it. It almost becomes like role reversal. Meaning, if the shliach doesn't do what he was supposed to do, so he's no longer a shliach. Now he takes hektish money out from a place that he was not instructed to do so. Okay. Now really, the whole story now starts with him. Now he hands it to the Baal Bayis, and the Baal Bayis now spends the money. So it's almost as if the Baal Bayis serves now as the shliach of the shliach. Right? You follow me on that?
But the thing is that he's not. But the Balabid is not a shliach of the shliach because it's not this. He's not being told what to do.
You know
the shliach was a facilitator.
Correct.
In terms of
and perhaps the reason why I may be correct about this, and you know I really am, but the reason why I may be correct about this is because, as we'll see later on, facilitation may be enough in this discussion of Me'ilah. And you'll see exactly where that point becomes unbelievably true.
If the shliach gets paid of some sort, then that's hanah.
If the shliach gets paid, but, well...
Because he gets something.
I'm saying, paid meaning what? Meaning he gets paid with just regular money, nechulam money? That's fine. Meaning that's...
No, but that's hanah.
That's hanah, but in other words, but we're talking about the misappropriation of the hektish money. Who misappropriated that money?
Yeah. Second Tosfos seems to answer...
So he's spending
whenever he brings it from the wrong location, it's
Bala Bais
who's responsible for taking it and spending it.
And then he spends it. Right.
So who gets Me'ilah?
The Shliach. I mean that's the Mishnah says that. You know, that's very clear. The Shliach is the one who is Mawal because he deviated. So and then I'm gonna suggest that the reason
was getting the Hanah.
And again, I'm telling you, it almost doesn't matter. Because in other words, he's the one who facilitated, he's the one who started the whole ball rolling. And in the world of Me'ilah, as long as somebody's getting hana, it transfers. It transfers back to the one who started the whole thing rolling. Okay, Yeah, here we're going to really open our eyes to an interesting discussion in this shlichus discussion. Let's say hand it over to Cheresh or Tvekatan, right? The three people who do not have das. Cheresh is a deaf mute, who in the time of the Gemara, in the time of the Mishnah, had no das, had no mental faculty. Shota is somebody who is clinically deranged, and Katan, and a minor. So the three of them have the Katan is the same, but he's got a better prognosis, right? But the three of them are the same in that they don't have das. They have right now. They don't have mental faculty. And watch the Mishnah now. The Mishnah is fascinating. So if they're given coins and they do exactly as instructed, so now it's going to carry over to the Mishalech, to the one who sent them. Now here the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. What's going on? Meaning in the world of Shlichus, we know one of the basic rules, one of the basic tenets of Shlichus is that the Shlich has to be somebody who is, number one, chayv in the mitzvah. Number two is a bardas. Meaning, if you don't have mental faculty, you cannot legally function as a shliach. So how in the world now are we going to have this discussion of the me'ila isra transferring over to the mishalech when the messenger, the one that's being sent, is somebody who doesn't have das? And meanwhile, the Mishnah says without flinching that the me'ila isra is going to transfer back to the mishalech. The Gemara is going to ask that question. Stay tuned. And the answer is going to be interesting because basically the answer is going to be that facilitation, meaning that's really the. All right, we'll get to the answer in just a moment. So lo asa shlichuso chanvanimal. Now, what if the shcheresh or tevekatan didn't do what they were asked to do? Now, you can't fault them because they don't have das, but they deviated. They didn't comply with the instructions, and now they hand the money over to the chanvani, to the store owner. Now, who's on the hook for me'ila? So watch, not the shliach because they're shcheresh or tevekatan. So they're not. They don't have liability. They don't have culpability. So they're out of the discussion. Not the Mishaleach, because there's only a transfer of Me'ila to the Mishaleach if the instructions were complied with. Here they weren't. So now you have Hektish money, and where's the Hektish money now sitting? In the hand of the store owner, in the hand of the Chanvani. So he right, we ruled out A, it's like, you know, multiple choice. We ruled out A, we ruled out B, so now we're only left with C. So when the Chanvani takes the money and spends the money, he's on the hook for Me'ila. Right, because he's the only.
He wouldn't.
Exactly the point. Remember, the whole me'ila discussion is only is we're talking about shogeg.
Eventually, he finds out after you.
Eventually, he's going to find out. In other words, this whole discussion of me'ila is only at the point of discovery. I do hear the argument, although it doesn't sound like the argument is valid. I do hear the argument that the chanvani is less than a shogeg, meaning it's almost like he's an onus, meaning. Unlike the Baal HaBayis, who at one point knew that money was Hekdesh money and then forgot. So now we could throw around terms like shogeg because he should have known better. The Chanvani who gets the money and literally had no history and no knowledge. I could hear the argument that it's less than shogeg, although, again, that argument doesn't seem to be valid in the Mishnah.
The certain person should not accept money from these three people.
That's huh?
The bottom line is that the certain person should not accept money
correct.
From these three people.
Correct. That's a good takeaway, take-home point. Shach.
Right.
Here's the case I mentioned earlier. Let's say he sends it in the hand of Pikeach. Pikeach just simply means knowledgeable. Okay, now we have a competent Shliach. And he gives money, hektish money, over to the Shliach. And right before he gets to the Chanvani, doesn't have to be right before, I don't have to make it that dramatic, but before he gets to the Chanvani, the Mishalech now remembers, oh no, I gave money over to the Shliach, that was Hektesh money, but he had no way of communicating that to the Shliach. The Mishnah says, Chanvani ma'al l'chishayotzi. So now, the Mishalech did not violate Me'ila because he was no longer a shogeg. And we can even further argue, the Mishnah does not make this point clearly, but we can even further argue that now that he remembered, he'd like a mulligan. He'd like to get that back. He'd like not to have taken that money given to the Shliach. So it's almost like he abrogated the whole Shlichus. But again, it's too late now because it's in the hand of the Shliach. The Shliach is not going to be mol behakdesh. So why not the Shliach? Yeah, that's a good question. Why not the Shliach?
The sender is not.
Because the Shlichut has been rescinded.
Okay. But, okay. And so therefore we're left with a chenvani. Ketzad yasa notel pruto kli. Now ketzad yasa. So now the Mishnah wants to know, is there a way of fixing all this? And the answer is yeah, sure there is. So notel pruto okli v'amr pruto shahekdesh b'chol makom shu mechulal al zeh. So what you could do is you could do a quick transfer. Meaning the Baal HaBayis now realizing that he just gave Hekdesh money over to the Shliach, knowing that he cannot communicate that to the Shliach, so what he can do is very simple. Take another coin from his house, obviously a non-Hekdesh coin, and transfer the Kedusha from the coin that's right now on its way to the store to the coin that's now in his house, and that's called Chilul. You could be mechallel the money, deconsecrate the money, the coin of Hekdesh, onto a coin in his house. So Shmuel says it doesn't have to be the same value. Shmuel says that you could be.
If he's not, he's getting a non.
You're right, but and as we mentioned many times, Shmuel's halach is only b'di'evit. It works, but lichas chilan. And I was. It's funny. I had that in mind when I was reading the Mishnah. The Mishnah goes pruta for pruta.
Right.
So it's. The lichat chila thing to do, and for obvious reasons, you don't want Hekdesh to lose, is that if you're going to deconsecrate, you got to go pruta for pruta. Okay. Did I read the last part of the Mishnah? Mechula al zeh shehekdesh nifta bekesef v'sheh v'kesef. Okay. So, my kamash malan. So, again, you know how it's going to work. We go over the Mishnah step by step. The first point of the Mishnah was that if I told him to get coins from the windowsill, and he does so, so now Me'ila transfers over to the Mishalech. And I can later argue and say, I didn't mean that windowsill, I meant that windowsill. Or same thing with the bags. I didn't mean that bag, I meant that bag. But I didn't articulate that to him. I didn't clearly state that. So the Mishnah's point is, and now the Gemara emphasizes the Mishnah point, my kamash one, dvarim shebelev, and dvarim. Even though in your heart you thought to yourself, while instructing the shliach, I meant specifically this bag, but that was just in your head. Or as the Gemara says, in your heart. You didn't specify, so you can't count that as part of the instructions to the shliach. Afterwards, you clarify and you said, oh, you know what I meant? Right? You know how miscommunication goes. No, I didn't know what you meant. You said, go to the bag. I went to the bag. You didn't tell me which bag to go to. I went to the bag. I went to whichever bag I thought you wanted it from. That is considered compliance to the shlichus. The shlich is no longer, the shlich did exactly what he did. The mi'ila penalty carries over to the mishalech. Good. Okay, so here now the Gemara asks what really is the obvious question, and that is, what is the Mishnah talking about? I give money over to Chereshot Vekatan, and they do exactly what I ask them to do. So now the Me'ila penalty transfers back to me, the Mishaleach. So the Gemara says, what are we talking about? They're not B'nei Shlichus. They're not competent, they're not fit to be a shliach. As we mentioned, in order to be a shliach, you have to be a bar hach. You have to be somebody who is obligated in the mitzvah and knowledgeable and they're not. So how does that work? Okay, so listen carefully to the answer now. So Amar of Elazar, asum kema'atan shel zeisim. You know what it's like? It's like olives. I know that sounds. Where are we going with this? It's funny because where we're going to is a mission to Haros. It's not the first place I would have thought of, notably because I haven't gone to Masech to Haros. But it's just the connection that the Gemara is about to make is just amazing. Let's remind ourselves already what we know about Tumah v'Tahara. Food does not become Tamei until its first Mukhshal Kabbal Tumah. It has to first come into contact with a liquid, and there are seven liquids that are eligible to make it Mukhshal Kabbal Tumah. Once it comes into contact with those liquids, it therefore now is susceptible to Tumah, so that now if something Tamei touches it, the food's going to become Tamei. Good. Makhshirin. We also know, as the most basic rule, which comes up again and again whenever we talk about makhshirin, is that it has to be that you wanted the liquid to come into contact with it. It's not that it just happens to be that some liquid comes into contact with the food, but it has to be beratzon, it has to be willingly. Okay. Now, a little bit about the olive press. And right, how many olive presses have I been to? Actually, I have been. In Eretz Yisrael, I went to go visit an olive press. But do I know much about the olive making process, the olive oil making process? Very little. So, but the mission towers goes like this. When are the olives susceptible to tumma? Now, the olives are collected from the field and put into a basket. Further, then later on, transferred over to a vat. Now, the moment that they're going into the basket, the olives start sweating. Okay? Imagine a lot of olives piled one on top of another. and it's hot outside, and the olives now start sweating. So there's a certain amount of natural juice that comes out of the olive. Okay, that's called olive juice. Right? We could also call it olive oil. Happens to be one of the seven liquids that'll be machshir, that makes food susceptible to tumah. Fine. So says the Mishnah, Mikabon tumah mishiyaziu zeas hamaatan volo zeas hakupa. So if it's sweating, if the olives are sweating in the basket, meaning when I'm collecting it around the field, that sweat doesn't count. That's what won't be a machshir. But once I transfer it over to the ma'atan is the vat, where eventually I'm going to press the olives. If it starts sweating there, that is liquid I like, that's liquid I want, and so therefore that liquid is going to be a machshir for the olives. Now, did I cause that liquid to happen? No. Meaning, it happened. It was natural. It was a very automatic response to just simply the olives being placed in the vat. And so where the Gemara is going with this, meaning, and by the way, period, we just quote the Mishnah, and the expectation is, you see? And now it's our job to try to see.
But that's something that you're pleased with the outcome.
Right.
You're accepting.
That's exactly the point. In other words, the point is that you're pleased with the outcome. Even though you did nothing in order to make that outcome occur, but nevertheless, it's an outcome that you want, meaning the sweating of the olives is ultimately what you want, because your whole purpose of pressing the olives is to get the juice, extract the juice out of the olives. So once it's in the vat, and once it starts sweating, and once the juice now starts exuding from the olive, perfect. That's exactly what I wanted. Did you do anything to get to that point? No. I mean, yes, but you didn't deliberately go out of your way to start squeezing. And meanwhile, here's the juice. Good, I have it. I'm happy with it. I like it. And therefore, it's a machshir. And now let's translate that over to our discussion. I gave money over to Cherishot V'Katan. Are they really shlichim? Of course not. No. But did the money get to where I wanted it to be? Yeah. Right? I know I instructed the Cherishot V'Katan. They don't even understand what I'm saying. Doesn't matter. As long as the money got to where I wanted it to get to, and I'm pleased with the results, mission accomplished. Meaning, money now is in the hand of the Chanvani, and if and when that money gets spent, I'm on the hook for Me'ila, me being the Mishaleach. It's interesting, to even call this now Shlichus, it's almost like the words are not correct, meaning, it's not real Shlichus, but it just happens to be that the money got to where I wanted it to get to. Granted, I didn't send it through a legal Shliach, but job well done. And therefore, I'm on the hook. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ka'osan Sheshaninu. Rabbi Yochanan, now, I'm not sure if Rabbi Yochanan is disagreeing with Reish Lakish or just using another Mishnah to make this very same point. Okay, there could be a machlokas between these brother-in-laws. I'm not sure. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ka'osan Sheshaninu. Nasno Agabi Kofa Holicho, Agabi Apil Veholicho, Mishnah and Erevin, and the Mishnah and Erevin is talking about you moving your tchum. On Shabbos, you know you're constrained to 2,000 amos outside of the city limits, or if you're not in a city, 2,000 amos of where you are currently situated. You want to change your center point, your makam shvisa. So what you do is before Shabbos, you set up a tchum, and sorry, an Erev tchumim, which essentially is food, and you put it in the place where you want to become your center point on Shabbos, Erevin, right? Erevin 101. So what if, now you can hand your basket over to a shlich and he could deposit it where you want it to go. Good. The Mishnah over here discusses giving it to a monkey. You know, your pet monkey. Nasno agabe akofa holicho, agabe apilve holicho. Or you give it to your pet elephant. Okay, that's a little bit stranger. But the point is like this. And they deliver it exactly where you wanted it to go, right? And obviously it's got to get there before Shabbos, so that going into Shabbos now, your tchum is going to change, your makom shvisa is going to change. And the Mishnah Erevin says, it works. Harei, skip the parentheses, harei ze Erev. That's an Erev. Alma ka'avdi shlichusei. Ha'chanami savi shlichusei. And again, as I mentioned before, I think it's basically the same point. I guess if you really analyze it well, you may find subtle discrepancies between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of which mission they elect to make this point with. But here we go. I look at the result. I look at the yield. The fact of the matter is that this Erev got to the place where I wanted to get to. I didn't hand it to a shliach. I handed it to an animal, a monkey, an elephant. But they got to where I wanted to get to. Good. Mission accomplished. So here also, I give money to somebody who doesn't have mental faculty. So he's not really a shliach. But did the money get to where I wanted to? Yes. Good. Mission accomplished. And so now it's going to transfer. And this is what I was saying earlier, that the transfer of me'ila is not necessarily predicated on shlichus. It's just more of, did the money get to where I wanted to get to, even without the conduit of a shlich? It is interesting, I see Tosfos discusses this from the bottom of the summit to the top of the next summit. So then, why do we need the whole Truma connection? Meaning, if now we're understanding that this whole process of transfer of me'ila to the mishaleach doesn't even really need a shliach, as we've just shown evidence with Chereshot Vekatan. So now our whole source back to Truma seems to be kind of a funny starting point for this whole discussion, because I don't even need a shliach. Right? Okay. One more little piece of Gemara, and then we go on to the next Mishnah. Shliach shach biat pikeach. Now the afagav delo itkar shliach v'reminu. Nizkar bala baifalo nizkar shliach ha-shliach mal. Yeah, this is funny. This is what I was thinking when I read the Mishnah. Good. But now we can make this point in the Braisa. I hand it over to the shliach, and then after handing it over, and after he's now on his way, I remember that the money was hektish money. Okay, so I'm no longer on the hook for me'ila. Good. What about the shliach? Meaning, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that the chenvani is violating now the iser of me'ila. Well, what about the shliach? Meaning, isn't now he in a state of shogeg? Isn't he the shliach misappropriating the money of Hekdesh? So, and it's such a good argument that the Braisa that we just read says, yeah. The Braisa says, I'll read it one more time. Nisker bala baisel and nisker shliach hashliach ma'al. The shliach is the one who's violating me'ila. Okay. And obviously, you see what the problem is that I understand the Braisa. But now what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says the chenvani is ma'al. So, who's right? I'm Rav Sheshes Masnitzin Kishenitzkru Shneim. So, Rav Sheshes will say like this. The Mishnah's right, the Braisa's right, they're both right. Talking about different cases. The Mishnah's case, let me start with the Braisa. The Braisa's case is talking about where I handed the money over to the shliach. After now he left my property, I remember that it was hektish money. He didn't know. And now he continued to spend that money not knowing that that was hektish money. So the shliach is on violation of me'ila. Why isn't transfer over to me? Because I remembered. Okay, fine. That's the Braisa. Now we turn to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going to be a little bit trickier. But Rav Sheshet says, you know what our Mishnah is talking about? Where Shnehem Nizkaru. Where they both remembered. How would the agent know? That's a good question. I'm not sure if I have a good answer to that question.
Wouldn't that make him amazing
then, if you know? Yeah, so, right, it's all good questions, but, I don't have good ways to construct the case, but I do understand the basic premise, which is, the Mishalech now remembered that it's Hekdesh money, so he's not on the hook for Me'ila, meaning the penalties of Me'ila, and the Shliach now, who also remembered, again, I'm not sure how that happened, but let's just say it happened. He also remembered that it's hektish money, and he continues to give that money over to the chenvani, so he's no longer subject to the me'ila penalty, because he's no longer in a state of shogeg. So now that the mishalech and the shliach are all now off the me'ila chart, so now who's got money, hektish money, not knowing it's hektish money, and misappropriating that hektish money, not knowing that it's hektish money? The only one left is the chenvani. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. Again, Mishnayos now, more of the same. Meaning more about the Me'ila penalty would transfer over to the Mishaleach, but only if the Shliach complies with its instructions. So the Mishnah gives the following examples. I hand my Shliach a Pruta, and I say to him, with half the Pruta I want you to get me candles, and with half of it I want you to get me wicks. V'halach lehevi lo b'kula psilos b'kula neros. And then he spends all of it on psilos, on wicks, or all of it on neros. O sham lo haveli b'kula neros or b'kula psilos. Or let's say my instructions were either all neros or all psilos. V'halach lehevi b'chetzi neros b'chetzi psilos. Shneim lo malu. So in these cases, neither of them were moal. Now, why not the Baal HaBayis? Meaning the Shliach, sorry, let me go the other way. Right, the Baal HaBayis is not moal because no compliance in the instruction. Meaning, remember, it only carries over to the Mishalech, to the Baal HaBayis, only when there was compliance in the instruction. So in all these cases, there was no compliance to the instructions. So that's why... So that's why the Mishalech is not on the hook for a Me'ilah. What about the Shliach? So because the Shliach needs a full Pruta. In other words, you need to be Moal on a full Pruta. And in all these cases, he was only Moal on part of the Pruta, not the full Pruta. And so therefore, it's you need to misappropriate one full Pruta.
And
right. So, but let's construct the following scenario where I want you to get me neros from over there, and he specifies, and with the other half of the pruta, go get me psilos wicks from over there, and he specifies. Now, in terms of what he purchased, check. In terms of where he purchased it from, X. Okay, he didn't go. In fact, he flipped, meaning to the store where he was supposed to get psilos, he got neros, and vice versa. Now, I ask you a simple question: did the shlich do what he was supposed to do?
Yes. Not really.
No.
Because the shlich is still pleased with the outcome. He got what he wanted.
Yeah, but he specified. In other words, one of the basic rules about shlichus is that you have to follow instructions to the letter. Meaning earlier we talked about where there was a lack of instructions, and so therefore now you have negotiating room. But if the Mishalech gives you very specific instructions, then you have to comply. And if you don't comply to the specific instructions given to you, then you're no longer a Shliach. So, a Neros HaShliach Mal. So now you understand the next words of the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishalech is not Moal BeHektish. Why not? Because Shlichus was abrogated. He didn't comply to the instructions. So now you have, in this case, a full pruta worth of goods that were purchased with hektish money, and the shliach didn't do what he was supposed to do. So now who's on the hook for me'ila? That would be the shliach. Now, so loshtei prutos v'amalo lech v'aveli esrog. I give my shliach two prutas, if only an esrog would cost two prutas. I give my shliach two prutas, and I say, get me an esrog. V'halach v'aveli ba'achas. Esrog v'achas rimon. And he comes back, and with one pruta, he went and he purchased an esrog, and with the other one, he bought a pomegranate. Shneham ma'alu. So now, mi'ila is split, meaning both of them were mo'al. Both the shliach and the mishalech. Now, here you can make the very legitimate argument, which the Gemara is going to introduce, which is, shliach didn't do what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to take those two prutas and buy with it one esrog. He took one of those prutas, bought an esrog, and he took the other pruta, and he bought a rimon. You want to call that compliance? You want to call that doing what he was supposed to do? Now the Mishnah says, yeah, that is compliance. And I know the Mishnah says that, because the Mishnah then says that the Mishalech is on the hook for Me'ila, for that one pruta that was spent on the esrog. Okay, that needs some thinking. Why is that considered compliance? Gemara is going to ask that question. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Baal HaBayis Lamal, Shu Omer Lo Esrog Gadol, Hayit Mevakesh Ve'Evisli Katan Vera. Now Rabbi Yehuda's position, I think sounds a little bit easier to understand. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, what are you talking about? That's not compliance. I gave him two, and I specifically told him, I want you to spend the two on an esrog. Because I'm assuming that with two, I'm going to get a nice esrog. And meanwhile, you only spent one prut on one esrog, you obviously came back with an inferior esrog. That's called non-compliance with my instruction. So the Mishalech is not on the hook for anything. So I gave him a gold dinar, and I said, here, right, go get me that shirt. And now he goes and he takes a gold dinar, which a gold dinar is worth six coins, six golden coins, and with three of them he bought me a shirt. So in other words, he took half the money to buy the shirt, and now he had three left over. He's like, okay, I'll throw in a talus as well. So he bought a chaluk and he bought a talus. Shnehem malu, same machlokas, same discussion. Right? So both of them were moel, because on one hand, he was told to buy a shirt, he did buy a shirt, that's called compliance. On the other hand, he took three of those coins and he bought a talus with it. He wasn't ordered to buy a talus. So on three coins that he did what he's supposed to do, translates back to the Mishalech, and on the three coins where he went rogue, so now he's on the shlich is on the hook for Me'ila. And again, Rabbi Yehuda now is going to make the same exact point that he made previously. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Baal Baislamal Shuhu Amar Lo Chalok Adolim Shemavakish Be'evesele Katan Bera. And again, Rabbi Yehuda's now argument is, what are you doing? I told you to take all six coins or the golden dinar and spend it on one garment. And I'm assuming, of course, is that I'm going to get a shirt valued on one garment. And meanwhile, what did you do? You only spent three in a garment? You obviously got an inferior garment. That is not compliance with my instructions. The shlichus is off, and therefore the mishalech is not the one who's violating me'ila, but it's rather the shlich, it's the messenger. Okay. Now, from the discussion of our Mishnah, it's clear, shamas mina, manda amel l'shlucho zil zavan likura da'ara, va'azav zavan le lichtcha kani lokeach. Okay. Look, in our Mishnah, what are we discussing? Especially according to the Tanakhama, we are discussing a scenario where I give him coins to buy a certain product for me, a certain item for me, and he only spends half those coins, right? Or even previously in the Mishnah, where I give him a pruta and I tell him to go buy me wicks, and he only takes half of it and he buys me wicks. The Mishnah's point is that the purchase is good. So the Gemara now walks away with the following conclusion. I go to my broker and I say to my broker, here, go buy me, right, let's talk in modern terms, right, go buy me 100 shares worth of this stock. Okay, maybe it doesn't translate well in terms of this because, all right, but anyway, right, go buy me 100 shares. And my broker buys 50 shares, not 100 shares. So, did he comply? I know you're going to get a little kickback over here, but did he comply? Partially. It sounds like from the Mishnah that the Kenyan is good. Meaning, obviously, you're not going to be happy with him because you instructed him to go buy 100 shares and he only bought 50. But I'm asking legally, was there a Kenyan? Sounds like from our Mishnah there is. That in other words, the Mishnah, all these constructed cases of the Mishnah speak to the idea that if he bought half of what you instruct him to do, the sale is a good sale. And now the Mishalech, the Baal Bayis, now actually owns half of what he was instructed to buy. That's what it comes out from the Mishnah. Now you can easily argue with that. Meaning, right, anybody who's ever been in that situation where you gave instructions in terms of what to purchase, and he purchased what you wanted, but not the quantities what you wanted, and only half of what you wanted, you could easily say, it's not what I asked you to do. Or let's say it even better. Let's go now with the Gemara scenario. The Gemara says, I asked him to buy a field that is an area of a core. And he buys me a field that's half that area. Half that area, that's not what I wanted. I wanted a land that was an area of a core. And you only get me half that land? So, again, you can easily make an argument that shouldn't be good. Meaning, it should be no sale. Because that's not what I instructed him to do. He didn't comply with my instructions. But from our Mishnah, it sounds like it works. So Amrei, so they say, meaning, right, they're talking about this in the Beis Medrash, and that what they're going to try to do is explain, our Mishnah is not going to support that position. Our Mishnah is going to support the position that if he doesn't buy the amount that I ask him to buy, it's no good. It's not going to be sale. What about our Mishnah? Amrei, so the Gemara says, you know what our Mishnah is talking about? It's talking about the following scenario. I gave the Shliach six coins to buy a shirt. Now, what was the case of our Mishnah? He bought a shirt for three coins. Right? And the Mishnah basically says, okay, now you're the proud owner of that shirt, even though he only used half the coins to buy the shirt. Maybe, says the members of the Beis Medrash, going over this Mishnah, maybe the Mishnah's case is talking about where he got a deal, he got an unbelievable deal. Mm-hmm. He went to the store and it was half off. Mm-hmm. But not the half off that, you know, I'm not talking about the department store half off. I don't know if people know this, but it's not really half off. Yeah, okay. We're all familiar. we're all aware. I'm talking about where legitimately, for whatever reason, right, it was a fire sale, whatever the case was, it legitimately was half off. So in other words, with those three coins that you used, you actually got a shirt that was valued at six. That's what our Mishnah is talking about. That's when we can say that there was compliance between the Shliach and the Mishaleach. But had it been the case where you literally bought a shirt valued at three coins, it's not a compliance. It's not Shlichus, and it will not, in other words, the sale just simply won't, no sale. Fine. Now, Ema Seifa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ba'alabayas Lama'al, Shu Yacholom, Alo Chalokadol, Yisim Avakesh, Ve'evesi Lechalokatan Vera. Now, that's a good pshat in the Mishnah until you read the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Because what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that's not Shlichus. Why not? Because he bought, with three, he bought an inferior one, and I wanted a nicer one. It sounds like from Rabbi Yehuda that there was no sale, there was no discount, meaning I literally bought a shirt for three coins that was actually valued at three coins.
We didn't tell him to buy a real fancy shirt.
But I gave him the six coins in order to buy the shirt, so that indicates that that's what I wanted. I wanted a shirt worth six coins. So it's a good pshat in the mission until you get to Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says like this, Amalei yapti dina kule isis le shava beis dinarim. So the Gemara says, no. We're gonna stick with our pshat, where on the three coins that he used, he actually bought a shirt that was worth six coins, meaning it really was, he got a bargain basement deal. Okay, it was half off. It really was half off. But and so according to the Tanakhama, you understand, meaning the instructions were to buy a shirt worth six coins. The shlich bought a shirt worth six coins, and he happened to only needed to use three of those coins. Fine, but he did what he did was supposed to do. He got a shirt worth six coins. Now, let's go to Rav Yehuda. Why does Rav Yehuda say that this is non-compliance? Because Rav Yehuda would say, the argument that Rav Yehuda would espouse would be the following. The Mishlech turns to the Shlich and says, oh my gosh, with only three coins, you got a shirt that's worth six? Imagine if you would have spent all six coins. Imagine the quality of shirt that you would have gotten me if you would have spent all six of my coins. And now I'm upset. And now I feel that you didn't comply with my instructions because my instructions were to spend all six coins. You didn't spend all six coins. I know you got me a shirt worth six, but if you would have spent all six, imagine the kind of shirt you would have got me then. Right. That's the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Hachinami mistabra. And after saying this over, the Gemara says, you know what? This sounds like the correct pshat in the Mishnah. Diktani mod Rabbi Yehuda bekitnis shishnei malu. Because then the Gemara goes on and quotes a Tosefta. We don't see this in the Mishnah, but the Tosefta. And here in the Tosefta deals with the following scenario. What if what I was instructed to buy was kitnis? Right? Kitnios. I know, we Ashkenazim, we wince when we hear that word. But vegetables. In other words, foods that are sold by volume. Sheshnei amalu. That both of them are going to be mal. Shakitnis. Bipruta v'kitnis b'dinar, because by kitnis there's no savings in bulk, meaning by kitnis I buy one, I buy two, I buy 100, it's all going to be the same price. Meaning, so here, even according to Rav Yehuda, we're okay, because the argument of imagine if you would have used all six, it doesn't work in the world of kitnios, because kitnios, you don't get any special savings by spending more money. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. Meaning, if you're in a place where they sell by approximation, you know, they eyeball the kidneys that they're selling you, so then, yeah, if you would spend more money, you'll get, he'll sell it to you more on the cheap. So the Gemara just, Amar of Papa, Beduchta de Mazavne, Bekane, Kane, 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 Bepruta, Dahasam, Pasak, Milsayu. So Rav Papa says, yeah, we're speaking more specifically about a place where they're selling it literally by the pound or by the cane, however you want to say it. But in other words, it's per unit. So there is no additional savings by spending more money. And so therefore, the argument of Rav Yehuda of, imagine if you would have spent all six, here in the world of kidneys, there's no imagination. Meaning because it would have been the same. So therefore, Rav Yehuda would agree into the Chachamim. In such a case, that the shliach did in fact comply with the instructions of the mishaleach. Okay. True, but no additional savings. I do here. Okay? We'll stop over here, obviously. Tomorrow we start with the new Mishnah. We'll finish the Masechta tomorrow. No changes, meaning we're just going to roll on tomorrow into Masechta Kinnim. Well, right now we're just going to focus on Kinnim. We'll talk after.